was, I had trouble getting to sleep last night. And it was not because my Sooners pretty much solidified a spot in the college football playoff. That was not the reason why I couldn't sleep. I was so excited that I get the privilege and the honor and the opportunity to talk to you this morning about Jesus and about the reason why we can even live a life of gratitude and a life of thankfulness. And we're going to talk this morning about how we're able to do that and what an incredible gift it is from the Lord that we're able to have Thanksgiving and what it should look like for us to live a life of Thanksgiving in response to what God has done. And so Thanksgiving just happened. We all know it was a couple days ago. One of my personal favorite holidays because of the food and the family and the fun and all of those good things. But and you've probably heard this a million times, but the origins of Thanksgiving are rooted in the pilgrims coming over and being what's attributed as the first Thanksgiving now is when a group of friendly Indians who spoke English came and they helped out the settlers and they had a meal together, and that's called the first Thanksgiving. But in the early days when the colonies were being settled, the governors of the colonies used to declare days of Thanksgiving and fasting. Ironically enough, we would fast because the governors and the people in the early days knew that there's no way that they could do what they did and come over across the ocean and settle this land, these harsh conditions that they had never experienced before. They knew that there was no way that they could do it without the help of God. And so they would declare days of Thanksgiving and fasting to the Lord. And that's what the origins of this Thanksgiving that we now celebrate. Those are the roots. It's deeply, deeply rooted in God. And so how was your Thanksgiving? I hope that there was some family involved, some food, some fun, like I said. And does anybody have like traditions that they do for Thanksgiving that you kind of do every year? Yeah, a few of us. Does anybody go around and go around the table and say what you're thankful for? Or like one or three things that you're thankful for? Or maybe you did it at school, or maybe you're going to do it today in your life group. I don't know. But this question about what we're thankful for is important. And I wonder if I was to ask you right now if your response would be like, oh, I'm thankful for Jesus, or I'm thankful for church. Like, does anybody Jesus juke that question? And I probably would, and I probably still did and do. But the real question is, what is your life say you're thankful for? I asked my sister who's in fifth grade what she's thankful for, and her response was very quick. She's thankful for TV and mashed potatoes. And that was it. She's thankful for TV and mashed potatoes. And I was like, wow, that she really knew what she was talking about, and that was what she was pumped up about. And so if I asked you the question, I wonder what your answer would be, but more importantly, I wonder how your life answers that question. How your attitude, your actions, your response to people and your life as a whole, I think is a better test and a better bearing on what you're truly thankful for. I think our life as a whole is a better indication of what we're thankful for outside of the answer that you give to the question with your mouth, what are you thankful for? And today I'm preaching on one verse, but there's enough in this verse, I think, to have words and to preach and to talk about for an entire lifetime. And it's incredible. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says this: thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And other translations, earlier translations say, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And in context, Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he's talking about giving generously. And this is where we get the same chunk as where we talk about a cheerful giver. We get the concept of giving cheerfully and giving generously. And Paul explains how our lives will cause others, our lives will cause others to live lives of thanksgiving as they see the work of God in us. And then at the very end of what he's writing about giving cheerfully and how our lives should lead others to live lives of thanksgiving, he writes, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Or thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. So what is this gift of God that leaves Paul rendered speechless? He can't even touch with his words or his actions. He can't adequately express what the gift of God is. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a beautiful display of God's love for his people. So you were born in a way, you were born dead. You were born in sin. And this verse tells us that you deserved death, right? There's nothing you did in your life to deserve eternal life. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This gift is Jesus. And in that gift, eternal life is found. And in that gift, every other good thing, every other good gift in life is found through Jesus. Every other gift imaginable that you could receive in your life is found in Christ. And James 1:17 says this, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above." And God gave us the gift of his Son, and through him, every other gift is given. Like, if you're able to come and be here and sit in church today and listen and worship and hear his word, that's a gift from God. If you have a family that loves you and is encouraging you in your walk with Jesus, it's a gift from God. And if you have a relationship with the Lord at all, it's a gift from God. Thanks be to God, because we did nothing to deserve it. He gives it to us freely. What an awesome, awesome truth. Ephesians 2:8-10, it's probably my favorite passage in the Bible, says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There it is again, this concept of the gift, and that there is nothing that you did to deserve God's grace. All you do, all you're required to do, is receive it. And all of the good things in your life are from God. And it's important that we realize this truth, because we can get it twisted. And this is probably the week of the year that we get it right most. But we need to get it right the rest of the year and understand that we didn't do anything to make our lives good, if they're good. We didn't do anything in our own power to make our lives awesome. Like, if good things are happening to us, that ultimately was not our own doing. We think the good things in our lives are a result of anything we did. And this kind of thinking can lead us to live lives of thanksgiving to ourselves and boast in ourselves, in our own work. Whenever our lives should be lives of thanksgiving to God for creating us and for giving us this inexpressible gift found in Jesus. And when we get this mixed up, We live lives of thanksgiving for ourselves, and this is not what God has called us to do. God created you in Christ Jesus, what Paul says. God created you in Christ Jesus for good works that have been prepared beforehand so that we can walk in them. It's all God, not you. If good things happen, if you're able to go and serve the homeless, or you're able to do something for your family, you're able to do your chores or whatever your mom or dad's called you to do, God prepared that for you beforehand that you would walk in it. It's nothing that you did. It's nothing for you to pat yourself on the back about, because God gives us these gifts, and everything good comes from above and from the Lord. And in this line of thinking, how everything good comes from God and how God gave us grace in order that we may have life, even though we did nothing to deserve it, can you see how this truth may be inexpressible or unspeakable? Like, have you ever had an experience in your life that was so good or so awesome that you were left speechless? Like, there was no way to describe how awesome the thing is. Like I don't know, like an awesome concert or something. Like, girls, if you got called up on stage to be Justin's, like, one less lonely girl or something like that, and your friends weren't there to experience it, and you come home and you try and explain it as best you can, but there really aren't any words or emotions that you can say or do that will adequately describe how great that experience was. Or like, if we went to a really good game that, you know, went into four overtimes and kicked the winning field goal or made a three at the buzzer to win or something along those lines, that if you went home and told somebody that wasn't there, they wouldn't understand it. They wouldn't grasp it, because you can't with your mouth and with your expressions say how awesome it was. And I've had a bunch of experiences like this in life that, you know, you try and explain it to a friend or somebody, and you just afterwards you're like, I couldn't even come close to sharing with them how awesome it is or how awesome it was. And the reality in my life that God saved me by sending his only son to pay for my sins in order that I may live forever in his presence and in his love is sometimes too much for me to handle. Sometimes I can't adequately put it into words how awesome and how great the truth is. I believe it, but it's like it's too glorious and too beautiful for me to truly comprehend it. And all I can do in those moments is say, thanks be to God. Just like Paul does. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible, for his unspeakable gift. It's like Paul on the road to Damascus, whenever Jesus appeared to him and he was blinded. He couldn't see because of the brightness of the light that was the glory of God. Paul was captivated and blinded by the glory of God through Jesus saving him and calling him. And I pray that we too may be captivated and often rendered speechless by the goodness of God, for him saving us. And I pray that we can never or will never lose the wonder and the glory that's found in that truth. I pray that we can continually taste and see and experience how good the gift is that God gave us. And in the same way the gift is so good, the gift of Jesus, that it renders us speechless or no matter how inexpressible it may be, it's also so good that we cannot not express it. If we've experienced the gift of God, we can't not speak of how good it is. Like, the whole Bible is telling stories and is written by men who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, point to and tell us about the gift of God that's found in Jesus. The whole Old Testament is pointing towards Jesus, and the whole New Testament is about Jesus and how to live a life for Jesus. And in this way, we can't not speak of it. Our response to receiving the gift has to be expressing it. Like just earlier in Ephesians 2:10, we were talking about, it says, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we may walk in them. Our response to receiving the gift of God has to be expressing it and telling other people about it. And when you've received the gift of Jesus, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and your life is no longer your own. And when God looks at you, he sees his perfect son, Jesus. What a truth and what a glorious reality for some of us. And when something really awesome happens to me, and I think you'll understand this too, when something really awesome happens to me, my natural desire is to want to go and tell everybody. Right, so there are some experiences we have that are so awesome and cool and great that we can't even express it. But then there are other times in our lives where things happen where we cannot wait to go and tell others about it. Like I know for some, I saw there's a lot of our college students back. Like when you or seniors or whenever, when you got accepted into college, you want to tell everybody because it's exciting. Right, and you want to post it on social media and let everybody know that you got into this school. And it's awesome and it's great, and we have this desire for everybody to know the good things that are happening in life. Like for me, I remember whenever I asked Emily Claire to marry me, whenever I proposed and whenever we got engaged, she said yes, and I had like our families and then our core group of friends were there and were involved in it, and they knew. But Emily Claire is in this sorority in college, and they do this thing called a candle lighting. I don't know if anybody knows what this is, but basically from the moment we got engaged on Friday, we couldn't let anybody know that we were engaged until Sunday after she blew out this candle in front of all her sisters. And I'm like, I just kept this secret for like, I don't know, 6-8 months. And I've been planning this whole huge thing. And the girl that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with just agreed to do that with me. And I can't tell anybody. And I'm like going throughout the whole weekend, we went to a football game and like we couldn't talk about it. And I'm just like in this daze ready to tell everybody because I'm so excited, but I had to wait. Right? And these are the experiences in our lives that are so awesome that when anything good happens, we want to tell people. So how about the best gift that you could ever receive? How about literally the best thing that could ever happen to you? How much more should we go? And this is a challenge to myself too. How much more should we go and tell people about God's gift for anybody who will believe it? How much more should we be excited to go tell people about the gift of God through his son, Jesus? Because that's the best gift that anybody could ever receive. We cannot be silent. Whenever we are a new creation, our natural response is to go and express it and speak of it. And so you see this difference between this gift of God that we've received that renders us absolutely speechless and knocks us down to our knees. But we also see in the same gift, it goes out and it propels us and sends us out to tell people about it because it's so good that we cannot be silent. So we see how the gift of God leaves us speechless yet full of speech. And the question now has to be asked, have you received the gift at all? Because in order to receive In order to give thanks for the gift, you first have to receive it. Like Christmas is coming up as well, and whenever you receive a gift from somebody, your reaction is then to accept it and whatever it is, you love it. Maybe you don't love it sometimes, I don't know. Some, like, my grandma's a terrible gift giver, and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome, thank you. But like in those moments, your response to receiving the gift is to tell the person that gave it to you, thank you. And in order to give thanks at all for the gift, we first have to receive it. And here's what the gift himself says in John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And earlier, Romans 6:23, we talked about how the wages of our sin in our life is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, these are his words. This is what Paul was talking about. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. I pray that you can grab hold of that truth for yourself this morning and believe it and internalize it and know without a doubt that you have received the gift and know that you can truly say thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And you can really mean it if you take hold of the truths that are found in Scripture this morning. You can truly give thanks and respond to God for his gift. And we know that you already have good deeds lined up for you after you've received the gift of grace through faith. And how do we respond to the gift and knowing that we've received it? I thought of a few ways to give thanks to God with our lives. You can spend time with him. Right, you were created to be in a relationship. We talk about this all the time. You were created to be in a relationship with him. And you know that the best way to be in a relationship with somebody, with another human, obviously, is to spend time with them and to talk to them and to get to know them in order that you can be in a relationship with them. And so God revealed himself. He gave us his word in this book. And we know that that's how we get to know him. And so one way to give thanks to God is to get to know him better. And the cool thing is, the more you understand and the more you read and the more you know about the gift that you've received, the better you can thank him for it. If you know the absolute truth of how your life was before you received the gift, if you truly can start to grasp the weight of sin in your life, if you can truly start to grasp it and feel the weight and know exactly what God did for you, which we can see and hear and taste and feel whenever we read the Bible, that's going to lead us on to give thanks to God all the more. And I know, like, some of you are probably thinking, yeah, I know all of these things, but I'm telling you, when you can get it into your mind and into your heart, it will change you. And your response will be one of absolute gratitude and thanks to God for what he did. Your life will be a life of thanksgiving when you can grasp the true weight and the truths that we find in Scripture. You can also thank him practically. Very practically, you can thank him. You can do things in your life to show God thanks for what he did. All right, one thing I was reading, one of my favorite pastors, his name's Charles Spurgeon. He is alive in the 1800s. And I was reading a sermon he was doing on Thanksgiving. And I'm going to paraphrase this and steal it from him so I can't take credit for it. But in order to give thanks to God, how awesome would it be? Think about if you noticed or saw a parent who had lost a child. And you went out of your way to go and search, and you did everything that you could in your power to bring that child back to their parents. How thankful is that parent going to be? They're gonna love you, right? They're going to be so pumped that they got their child back. And think about now in our context, in school or wherever you are, or work, just everyday life, all of the people who are lost. And think about all the people that God wants to call to himself. And you have the opportunity. Ultimately, God is the one that does the saving, but you have the opportunity to be an instrument in God bringing back his children. And you have the opportunity to go and find his lost sheep and bring them back to the Father. I can't think of a better way to give thanks to God for the gift that we've been given than to go and find his lost sheep. And you can thank him in planned ways too. These are all things that you can do in order to live a life of thanksgiving. Spend time with him, thank him practically, go find his lost sheep. You can thank him in planned ways, right? Whenever you're at dinner with your friends or with your family or in whatever context you're in, go like talk about what God's doing in your life and the cool things that are happening. That's just a very easy and practical way to give thanks to God, because we know that everything good that happens to us is from him ultimately. So tell other people what's going on and how God's at work in your life. What a better way to give thanks and to give back to God for the gift that he's given you than to talk about the gifts that he's given you, right? It just makes sense. You can also thank him in spontaneous ways. And this is what we see with this verse that we talked about. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. This is what Paul's doing, because the whole time he's writing about being a cheerful giver, and he's talking about collecting an offering for, he's collecting money for the poor saints in Jerusalem, for the church there. And out of a response to God's goodness and the grace that Paul had received, he proclaimed and exclaimed at the end of this, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And this should be us in every circumstance in life. When things are good, whenever you get into college, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Whenever you do well on a test or something like that, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Whenever you make a new friend, thanks be to God. But also in the not so good times too. All right, when your loved one dies, as hard as it sounds, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Whatever is going on in our lives, because we have the gift of Jesus, our life has to be a response of thankfulness and thanksgiving. Our whole lives should be lived in light of this one verse, and it's being thankful to God for what he did for us through Jesus on the cross.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.